translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. I have appeared in this incarnation to kill the demons, Pasandis, and after killing them to preach the cult of devotional service. Purport. Lord Chaitanya's mission is the same as Lord Krishna, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita. If you know it, we can all chant together. Yuda yuda hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyuta nama dharmasya tadatmanam srijanaham paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya chaduskritam dharma samstapranathaya sambhavame yuge yuge. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice or descendant of Bharat and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself in order to deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants, as well as to re-establish the principles of religion. I advent myself millennium after millennium. Bhagavad Gita, anyone knows? 4, 7 and 8. As explained here, the real purpose of an incarnation of Godhead is to kill the atheist and maintain the devotees. He does not say, like so many rascals incarnation, that both atheists and devotees are on the same platform. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or Lord Sri Krishna, the real personality of Godhead, does not advocate such an idea. Atheists are punishable, whereas devotees are to be protected. To maintain the principle is the mission of all the avatars or incarnations. One must therefore identify an incarnation by his activities, not by popular votes or mental concoction. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave protection to the devotees and killed many demons in the course of his preaching work. He specifically mentioned that the Mayavadi philosophers are the greatest demons. Therefore, he warned all others not to hear the Mayavadi philosophy. Mayavadi basya suniti hai sarvanasa. Simply by hearing the Mayavadi interpretation of the Shastras, one is doomed. Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, chapter 6, text 169. Om Jnana Timarandasya Jnanam Jnana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militan Jaina Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Stapitam Jaina Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesa Sunyavadi Paschachade Satarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadada Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrindam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. When Hanuman was caught by Indrajit and Ravana, he was brought to the palace, and Ravana saw this monkey and he was really surprised, and especially a talking monkey. We've seen many, many monkeys in the zoos here and there, plenty in India, Vrindavan especially. But a talking monkey is very, very, whoa, never experienced this. So then Ravana asked Hanuman, who are you? And then Hanuman said, I am Ramdut. I am messenger from Ram and I have a message from him. And then Ravana said, well, say something then. What do you have to say for yourself? And then Vibhishan said, when the messenger comes, you have to give him a seat and let him explain his purpose. And Ravana said, this is a bandar, a monkey. When do we put a monkey on a seat? And then he said, this monkey is not getting no seat whatsoever. And then Ravana said, speak, say something. Then Hanuman, with this mystical tail, started to make a seat. And the seat started growing higher and higher and higher until it was higher than Ravana's own seat. And then Hanuman jumped on top of there, and then he started to deliver his message. And Hanuman said, I am a monkey, you are right, I don't deserve to be on a seat, but the message that I'm going to deliver to you is very, very elevated. It needs an elevated seat. So although I don't deserve to sit here, although I feel a little bit embarrassed, I thank you for listening and giving me your time. So it is a message that we're trying to listen. This is a very, very popular verse from the Bhagavad Gita. And this is the reason why Krishna, Narsingadev, Vamanadev, the list just goes on and on. Actually, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, at the moment in the mornings, we are on the chapter called Krishna, the Source of All the Incarnations. So Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam. He is the original person, the Swayam Bhagavan. And from him, different incarnations come. And the purpose of the incarnation is stated here. You're all very, very Krishna conscious person. I don't have to tell you. But it's always good for us to remember as many times as possible the philosophy, the pastimes of the Lord. So there are two main reasons why the Lord descends. Avatar means to descend. So the Lord is happy in the spiritual world, performing his lila, performing his wonderful rasa with his devotees. And he is known as Atmaram. Means he is self-satisfied. But even though he's in the spiritual world, he's having a pretty cushy time up there, he still yearns for the souls who are suffering in the material world. One happens to be just here. So because there's so many living entities suffering in the material world, they don't want to surrender to Krishna. They think they can make their own fate in life. Then this material world is created. And this material world is called Mrityu Loka. It's a place of death. And this is where Krishna has those living entities who are not willing to surrender to him. So if you think about the situation, these are the rebellious persons, these are the criminals, these are the people who are kind of locked up over here, and Krishna's up there enjoying. There's no real need for Krishna to come down here in the material world. But once in a while, just like the king in the palace, he will go to the prison, and I think sometimes there's some custom. The king, he pardons somebody, isn't it? On special day, maybe on his birthday or anniversary, he decides, oh, my benevolence is there, I will pardon someone. I think we had the same situation when Jesus was there in front of the crowds, and then the ruler there wanted to pardon one criminal. So sometimes Krishna also has that same mood, that he wants to come in the material world to help the living entities. So therefore he descends. And the material world, 95% of the time, Dushkritana, or atheists or demons who are not interested in Krishna consciousness. We've all experienced in our life, whenever we go preaching, whenever we go door to door, whenever we go somewhere, we don't always find people receptive. Of course, there are some people, but you know, generally the world is demoniac, atheist, and they just want to enjoy. There was Indra Dumna Maharaj, he was telling a story that after his preaching, and then Prabhupada asked him to come in his room and asked, so what is the preaching like? Then Indra Dumna, he was a grihastha at that time, he was preaching in France, and he said, preaching is very, very difficult. It's very austere. And Prabhupada looked at him and said, really? And he said, definitely, preaching is very, very austere. Then Prabhupada asked him, what was the difficulty? He said, we were on Harinam, and then we were chanting in front of the Eiffel Tower, and some people were nice, and I don't know if you know French people, they're not, no offense to the French, you know, they're quite a tough, you know, cookie to kind of, you know, crumble, you know. So then he was saying that as he was chanting, one lady came in front of him, and she went like this, and she was going, you know, and she didn't just walk past and go like this, she stayed there for at least good 10 minutes. And then Maharaj was trying to chant, trying to look over here, and you know, but she kept on coming right in front of Maharaj, and then Prabhupada was listening, and then Prabhupada said, oh, they do this? And then said, yes. And Prabhupada said, well, what you should have done is gone to the lady, pull a finger out and say, Hare Krishna! In her ears. And then, but the point here is that it's very, very difficult to kind of tell people about Krishna consciousness. People are not really interested, especially somebody was telling me, what's it like in the early days when you were preaching? And it seemed in those early days, people were coming left, right, and center. They were joining. In fact, when I was staying upstairs in the Brahmachari Ashram, there's about 30 at the moment. Jayashri Shri Radha Gokulananda. But at that time, there was about at least 100 to 120 people all living in the upstairs, downstairs. Whichever cupboard you open, you see some devotee there. Whichever kind of closet you look, you saw some devotee there. So it seemed apparent that in the 60s, in the 70s, 80s, 90s, so many people were coming to Krishna consciousness, and there was like a real genuine Hare Krishna explosion. But now, as you know, it's much, much more difficult, you know. So the point is, nowadays there's so much materialism, there's so much sense gratification, there's so much, things are so easy in life. You just have to press a button, boom, and your pizza are done. You just have to press a button and there's hot water as soon as you arrive home. You have to just like, you know, press, and you don't even have to drive your car. My son was telling me, they were driving a car in Europe, and the car just moves itself, and all they have to do, and it knows when to slow, it knows when to take over. Literally everything is taken away from us, and it just seems the life of luxury. So then sometimes when we say, if you chant Hare Krishna, you'll be happy, and people say, oh, I'm already happy, I got a nice car, what do I need this Krishna stuff? So the thing is that nowadays people are so kind of think they're happy with their false sense of security, with their kind of like, you know, whatever material accomplishments they have, you know. At the moment, like people, wages, as you all know, are so big. In the 60s and the 70s, people just hardly got a threepence or something like that. So life is very, very different. So in this kind of conditions, it's very, very difficult to preach. So, the point is that even though it's difficult, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says here that we still have to go and preach. It doesn't matter how difficult it is. This is generally the mood of a devotee, paradukhida, that when he sees the dukhi of the other living entities, then he also feels pain, himself. He also feels some concern for the living entity. So therefore, he tries to this best of ability to try and help the other living entities. We see that situation in the wonderful pastime of Prahlad Maharaj, that even though Hiranyakashipu tried so hard to kill his son, to torture him, you know, if you just think about it in our kind of day-to-day life, if somebody insults us, we get upset so quickly. Especially like the worst scenarios when you're driving. Isn't it when you experience that when you're driving? And then everybody just gets so angry. I was just driving just the other day. And then I was just trying to go a little bit and just turn right. And this guy just happened to come. And he was ranting and raving. You know? And he was just like really fuming. You could literally see the smoke coming out of his ears, you know? So just because of one little mistake, maybe I was just trying to just avoid the queue, just turn quickly right. He got so upset and there was plenty of room for him to move. But no, I'm going to stay here. You move. And this is the nature of the people. They're very angry. They're really frustrated. They're really upset. And 5 minutes later, I was in the store and he saw me. And he started laughing. I said, "You're right, mate. You're okay, yeah?" Then he went, just went away. So the thing is, so like when we're inside our car, our inner demons come out. When in the material world, our inner demons come out, you know. So then it's very, very difficult to kind of, you know, preach. So in the story of Prahlad Maharaj, even though he was like abused so badly, when Narsingadev asked Prahlad, "Do you want something?" Now normally, I'm talking for myself. When somebody says, "Do you want something?" and you know they've got something to give, you'll say, "Yeah, I want this, I want that, yeah, I can, yeah," and also pass that, you know? Because that's the nature of me, at least. You want something if someone offers. But no, Prahlad, he said, "I don't want anything." Then Narsingadev said, "No, take something, whatever you want." And do you know what Prahlad Maharaj wanted? You all know. What did he want? Deliver his father. So that is a devotee. Even the devotee has been abused, has been pushed around, you know, it doesn't make any difference to him. He's just concerned. And we have that wonderful pastime of Lord Nityananda, and it is explained that even though Nityananda was like physically hurt and his head was like hurt and blood was coming, it's explained in the scriptures that if you draw the blood of a Vaishnava, then 21 generations of inauspiciousness in your family. So be careful when you're shaving someone's head, yeah, Adam? So don't draw any blood from a Vaishnava. It is very, very inauspicious. So even though Nityananda's blood was drawn, still he did not take offense, and he still asked, "Please, even though you've hurt me, it does not make any difference to me. All I implore you is chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare." And because of that amazing humility, because he took no offense, which of the two brothers changed? Who? Jai Krishna. Oh, forget that guy. He's never going to change. Who? Which one changed? Or one of them changed? Jagai. So Jagai was really touched by Nityananda's incredible compassion. And then Madai, he was saying, "Right, you're going to get it." So he started to go towards Nityananda again. And Jagai said, "No, please don't." So in this way, we're always surrounded by so many difficult situations, so many obstacles, so many things are so hard in our life. But if we have that humility, then whatever difficulties we have in life, then we can cross the threshold. In fact, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that Trinadapi Sunechena Suna Amanina Manadena Kirtanaya Sadahari. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to his followers that you should take this verse and wear it round your neck. Because this will help us in our Krishna consciousness. And it's not easy. It's always been just thrown around here. Be humble, Prabhu, you know, humility. But when you try to use it in your day-to-day life, how is it we can actually be humble? Of course, we don't have to be like that. You know, we just get tread over. Yes, Prabhu, there used to be one devotee over here many, many years ago. And then this devotee was so humble that they would serve and serve and serve. And then afterwards, people would come for seconds and prasadam finish, and there wasn't enough prasadam. And then this devotee didn't have any. He was saying, oh, I'm humble, humble. And this carried on and never got enough prasadam. Although nowadays there's abundance of prasadam, but in those days, if you didn't come on time, if you didn't have that plate, prasadam would be gone faster than you can say a hari bowl, you know. So this devotee wouldn't get any prasadam. He was just humble. It doesn't matter. And he just liked this humble service. And everyone thought, oh, such a fantastic, you know. And then afterwards, the devotee just left. And then later on, we tried to contact him. He says, what did you leave for? He said, oh, I never got any food there, you know. So the thing is that he should use his intelligence that although you're serving, and it's nice to serve the Vaishnavas, you have to use some common sense. And the reason he was trying to be humble was the reason why he left. So we have to use our intelligence, you know. Prabhupada said, we want independent, thoughtful people to come to Krishna consciousness. So there has to be a certain independent, but you have to be very, very thoughtful. You have to use akkal, buddhi, that's given to us by Krishna. So we can discriminate. So the idea is that we have to use this properly in the service of the Lord. So Krishna, his two reasons for coming, and the main reason for him to come in the material world is for the devotees. Although there's two reasons. One is explained that he comes to chastise the atheists, to kill them. There's so many unlimited stories there in the scriptures where the Lord comes and kills the demon, but actually the Lord really enjoys the pastimes with the devotees, and that's what his prime reason for coming in the material world is, to have that wonderful, wonderful rasa with the devotees, to help them, to protect them. And of course, there is there to reestablish the principles of religion where Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita. But as it is in Kali Yuga, things always get lost. Things always just disappear. We are just on the verse of Kapila Muni. So it's explained that he explained the Sankhya philosophy to Devahuti. But in time, this information was lost. Then we have the situation, the Bhagavad Gita, then again it was lost. Then we have the situation of Sri Chaitanya Prabhu. Even in the most recent time, his pastimes were very difficult in the form of Chaitanya Charitamrita to find. It says that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, it took him a long, long, long time to get the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So the nature of the material world is deterioration. So the idea is that whatever Krishna comes to try and establish, over a period of time, things just deteriorate or degenerate. So therefore, he comes every now and then. And his most recent form, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although previously Krishna would come, as explained here, to kill the atheists, the Lord, when he comes as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he comes in a different mood. He comes as Kripalu. He comes compassion. So he hasn't come with the normal disc, chakra, gada, whatever he can find. He doesn't come with those things. Not allowed. But he comes with what? He comes with Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And this is the best weapon to use in the preaching we have. Forget the gadas, forget those swords and things like that. I remember like we were getting a little bit of problem with the jippos many, many years ago. And Dwarka got all the theater clubs and all the swords and everything. And we all went charging with the jippos with this, you know. But no, those things are not needed, you know. Although it frightened the daylights of the jippos. But actually, this is not the mood of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The mood is just to preach and chant the holy name. And although we might not think it has an effect, this powerful mantra has such an incredible effect that people are touched. And one devotee was telling me that they were on Harinam, and you know, like the Harinam goes on one side of the street and everyone's chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And then another devotee was distributing books and he heard two ladies nattering away. And these ladies were looking at the Harinam. And then one lady said to the other lady, I just don't know what it is with those people. They seem to have an incredible sense of happiness. I just don't know where it comes from. So just these are two ordinary ladies, and they could see the devotees when you're chanting. You can feel a certain sense of happiness. So we know there's three types of kirtans. You know the three types of kirtans? What are the three types of kirtans? You got the japa. So the japa is the personal bhajan with us and Krishna, we chant. And the second is the kirtan, the sangha that we chant. Like in the morning, the kirtan, Jai Radha Madhava. And the third is the Harinam Sankirtan. So it is explained, Bhaktisiddhanta explains that when we chant japa, personal bhajan to Krishna, the holy name, slowly we will get a taste. When we have kirtan, you can see devotees are very happy, chanting, blissing, running up and down, yeah, yeah, jai, you know. But the third one, in my personal experience, when you go on that Harinam and you're vulnerable to all the elements, and if you surrender to that holy name, there's a certain sense of happiness you can get from chanting that Hare Krishna that you can't get anywhere. Why? Because this is the reason why Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come, to preach through the chanting. And then when we make that endeavor to go out and chant on Harinam, then we can see that people are really, really affected. And in fact, in the early days, the chanting of the Harinam was so potent that people would just come and chant. There's one devotee, he was telling us, he was like on a bench, he had a bottle, he was like suffering, he was thinking of topping himself, you know. He was just not happy in life, you know. There's so many people who are suffering like anything. And then he's just like really at the bottom of the pot, you know. And then all of a sudden, as he was like thinking of topping himself, he heard, ching, ching, ch, ching, ching, ch, ching, ching, ch. Then he was like, oh, what's this? And then he kind of like popped up from those benches, you know. Then he looked around. Then he said he saw this like amazing, amazing vision that is never seen before. And there were like about 20 devotees in saffron, nice, shaven. And then they were chanting ear to ear smile, so happy. And then he says, these guys, they seem so happy. Then he looked at the other side of the street and he saw people milling up and down and pushing each other. And he looked at these two things and he said, these people seem to be happy. Then he just followed the Harinam and he became a devotee and he just shaved up. And there's so many stories, I can just go on and on and on, of devotees just by hearing that holy name. Just if you have that faith, then people will change. Kripa Moya, he was telling a story of another devotee, and then the Harinam was kind of going on, and then this person was looking at that and saying, who are these idiots? Aren't they like embarrassed? They're chanting, wearing these bed sheets, you know, shaven head, you know. So he was thinking, these guys are really, really nuts. But another side of him was saying, but they seem really, really happy. Visually, they look nuts, banging cymbals, you know, going around giving like a sweet or a pamphlet. You know, if you think about it, visually it looks, what's all this? But you can see the happiness that emanates from the devotees. Then this devotee, one side is saying they're nuts, they're, you know, bananas. But on the other side, he was thinking, wow. And then that other side of him took over. Then he became a devotee, became a proper disciple. So, yes, it might seem that we might be out of place. But, you know, there's one person out there. And when the devotees come in contact with them at the right time, at the right place, then it will have an effect. Then it will have a deep, profound meaning. So sometimes when they get a book, sometimes when they hear the holy name, sometimes when they get prasadam, it might not have an effect straight away. Prabhupada would call these books like time bombs. It's just a matter of time. At the right time, it will happen. When they read it, then at that right appropriate time, it will have an effect. And some of you might have that experience, isn't it? This one devotee was telling me that, you know, he really liked the devotees. He really liked the prasadam. He just thought the philosophy was fantastic. But he had a really, really hard time giving up drugs. He just liked smoking too much. He just couldn't find it. And the devotees tried to preach to him, and the devotees tried to tell him, but it just had no effect. And this went on for a little time. And then he was saying that one day he was like quite high, you know, and then he started reading one of Prabhupada's books. And then Prabhupada said, you don't need, I can't pronounce it, but he says, what's it called? Halluzinik, what's it called? Yeah, you don't need those kind of things for happiness. Just by chanting Hare Krishna, then you can be very, very happy. So then he had this, then he looked at Prabhupada's purport, yes, no, boom, then he chucked it away. Then he became a devotee. So the Prabhupada's purports are there, and they're very, very powerful. And even I had one experience when I used to live at Soho Street, and then it's a bit embarrassing, but I guess I have to kind of humble myself. So I was at Soho Street. So in Soho Street, not so much here, but Soho Street, they give a little pan to Radha London Ishwara. So then normally this pan is kind of thrown away as like maha. So I was a bit naughty kind of, and I went to the pujari, said, oh, Prabhu, you know the pan, why are you throwing it away, you know? Why didn't you just like give it to me, I'll give it out as maha to people. And then he kind of gave it to me. So then I was on the roof over there, then had this pan, and then I opened the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and I was popping these pans in, and I think it's maha, it's okay. And then at that particular point, the chapter I came and I was reading, where Prabhupada is explaining when Satyamata, I think that story where she's kind of not feeling so well and stuff like that. So in the purport, Prabhupada is saying the members of the International Society of Krishna Consciousness do not partake in pan or betel nuts. Then I had that in my hand. I looked at the pulpit and I felt really embarrassed. Oh no, I got caught red-handed. So if we are sincere, then Krishna will speak to us through the devotees, through the purpose, in so many different ways. So I can carry on. So Krishna comes here in conclusion to help reestablish religion, kill the demons, or in this case, kill the demoniac mentality that we have of enjoying. That's the mentality that we have. Or here also is explained this impersonalism, which is very, very rampant. Like you don't see people in streets with big teeth and lobe ears and stuff like that. Demons don't come like that. But the demons come in the form of wrong philosophies, wrong understanding of God, or misunderstanding of the scriptures. And the biggest misunderstanding, as explained here, is this Mayavadi tendency or the impersonalism, which we, Prabhupada's verse there, Sunyavadi. So Bhaktisiddhanta was very, very firm about getting rid of this Mayavadi philosophy, and Prabhupada imbibed that same understanding. So in the material world, although we might not have the demons like Hiranyakashipu or the same demons like we see as Ravana, but it's that impersonal mentality which is there. People find it really hard to understand the personal concept of God, and particularly when they see the Archa Vigraha form. There's one devotee, he's been a devotee for many years. He says, I like everything about Krishna consciousness, brilliant, but I still can't put my head around that God with his infinite energy is standing there in front of me. How can it be possible? So therefore, it's easier for them to think, oh, it's just a big energy, it's just a big light over there. Because for them, it's hard to understand how God, in his unlimited situation, unlimited power, can come in the form of a person like that. But because we are relating with each other as persons and the limitations that we have, therefore we think that if God is in the same situation, he's also limited. But no, God is not like that. He doesn't have that same situation. When God comes over there, he is not affected by the three modes of nature like we are. And Prabhupada gives that example. Do you ever see a picture of Krishna, even though he was 125 years old? Do you ever see a picture of him as an old man with a Buddha, with a stick? No. He's always young, youthful, never yovanam. So in our personal life, we should also follow in the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and try to our very, very best, try and preach this holy name and give it to others. And when you give this holy name to others, then we can be sure that they'll be very, very happy. It's very, very simple. It's not very, very difficult. Just chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. And although we might think it's always the same thing, it's always the same thing, but actually, until we are 100% convinced and, accept that, then the holy name will not reveal itself. There's one famous story you probably know, and Prabhupada, I think it was one Janmashtami, they were reading Krishna book, and then all the top leaders were there, and then Prabhupada afterwards asked them, are you convinced that Krishna is God? Are you convinced? And instead of saying yes, they were all like, So are we really convinced that Krishna is the Supreme Person? Are we really ready to surrender? Are we holding back? It's a thought for you to have. I think we have to just get ready for Vrinda Devi. Maybe it's one question or one complaint.